we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. Welcome to Friday. It's a great day to be alive in Brevard County, Florida. And you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it is our pleasure. We're going to be spending the next half hour this morning talking about the kingdom of God. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're dealing with the Lord's Prayer, and we have got a little ways into it. It is Your Kingdom Come is what we have been talking about. As I was in bed this morning and I was trying to get my thoughts together, I was praying, and it's like, you know, we've got to really want His kingdom to come. That's a prayer. The point of the Lord's Prayer is not a recitation of words. It's not some magic formula that whenever those words come across our lips that all of a sudden things are going to happen. Words are supposed to be a reflection of our heart. They're supposed to express the desire of our heart. And so when we declare Your kingdom come, it's because there's a desire inside of us. There's our spirit crying out to God and saying, God, we want Your kingdom more than anything else this world has to offer. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. That's actually the verse that compelled this study. I mean, that was the point of conception, where it was like, okay, and then it just mushroomed into this prolonged study that we're doing on Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else, all these things, the food, the clothing, the shelter, all these things will be added to you, because you live under a different dominion. Your sovereign now is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the self-existent one. He is King of eternity. He is King of timeless past, King of forever, and the King of right now. And He is a king that is much better than any other form of government that you could ever encounter. As I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking that as they were going around declaring the kingdom of God, what a great distinction there was between the Roman oppression that they were living under and the kingdom of God that Jesus was coming and declaring and living out. So once again, you know, I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We do want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. I don't know if you've ever been outside and you just came into a room and you were just welcomed by that cool air. I remember taking a sightseeing tour, I believe up in Flagler County, up in St. Augustine, and they were describing how air conditioning was one of the things that made Florida a desirable attraction. Before then, not that many people wanted to be here because it got so intensely hot, and we have these storms that come and visit every once in a while. But air conditioning makes it bearable. If your air conditioning has said, you know what, I'm tired and I need a break, the person that can come and get that AC unit refreshed, if you're here in central part of Brevard County, is Bill with Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, because you want that thing working the way that it needs to work when you need it to work. So, you know, our temperatures can swing wildly. So you can need the heater of a morning a little bit later in the year, and the air conditioning in the afternoon. You can need the heater in October, and you can need the air conditioner on Christmas Day. Been there, done that. So you want to get your system, and you want it working as efficiently as possible. And let me just say this. You might think it's a major problem, but Bill is really, really good at what he does, and it might not be a major problem at all. It might be a quick part in, part out type thing, and you'll be back up and running in no time. He's done that for us a number of times where, you know, these parts just give out every once in a while, capacitors of some sort, either start capacitors or run capacitors, whatever they are. They go out. It's a very quick, not all that expensive repair, and you know, it sure beats having to stay in a hotel room to cool things off. So give him a call, 321-759-3284. So the kingdom, your kingdom come. Let me we're going to talk a little bit about it today. We're going to move away from the one resource, and we're going to merge today from the end of that outline I was using, which was a sermon outline, into an amalgamation of kingdom research I've gone through. And I said, well, we've already talked about that. We've already talked about that. We've already talked about that. So I want to talk to you about Jesus as the king and what that kingdom looks like. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 20, Jesus said, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." And I want you to know that the demons haven't gone extinct. If they were operating in Jesus' time, guess what? They're still operating now. And there may be some people that your theology doesn't really go there, but I want you to know the devil hasn't retired. He's a defeated foe, but he hasn't given up yet. He's still looking to score as many points, gain as many victories, put as many notches in his spiritual belt as he can. But when the king comes, demons have to flee. They are exposed as the frauds of authority that they are. Jesus comes and he says, "This is the kingdom of God." Satan likes to muddy the waters and try and put that there's no distinction between this spiritual dynamic and that spiritual dynamic, but that is really not the case at all. Jesus comes and he says, "This is what the kingdom of God looks like. All of this other stuff that has been going on is harmful to you. It's deception. I come in truth." And the king comes and demons get cast out. And he said, "That's because the kingdom of God has come." It doesn't say because of a self-help thing or anything else. It's because the king has come. And God is more powerful than any demon. You know, I have been amazed a couple of times when I was doing my devotions and reading through the scriptures, and all of a sudden find the demons who torment and cause pain and suffering and bring destruction into people's lives. They encounter Jesus and they say, "Please don't torment us." Isn't it funny that people who terrorize other people don't want to be terrorized themselves? It's probably because they know what they've done to other people and they didn't show any mercy. But the crazy thing that kind of blew my mind was when they made request of Jesus, he granted their request for them to go into the pigs instead of being driven into the abyss. And when I look at that, I say, wow, how much does God love us? How much does God love us that he grants us the access to the throne of grace? And he's not looking for just this massive, eloquent verbal combination to impress and say, "You know what, that's so impressive, the way you put those words together. I'm going to grant that request because that was a masterfully crafted sentence." That's not the way it works at all. The king comes, and as a member of the royal household of heaven, he says, "What would you like? What can I do for you?" You know, Xerxes said to Esther, you know, up to half the kingdom. God goes better than that, and he says, you are a joint heir with me. So I want you to know that God greatly loves you, and demons are cast out with the finger of God. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So we look at things like that. Now, I want to take you to Luke chapter 12. How do we get to from that intellectual understanding of the kingdom of God? How do we get to the reality of the kingdom manifesting in our lives? Luke chapter 12, verse number 32 says this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I've got a news flash for you. You are now less than 3 months, if I do my math right, September to October, October to November, November, you're less than 3 months away from Christmas. And everybody just goes, no, because all the shopping and everything. The great thing about Christmas is that it describes Jesus coming to this earth and altering our now, altering our forever, altering our spiritual life, our physical life. Jesus is God's gift to us. And so as we are entering the Christmas season and there's all this focus on the gifts of God, the gift of God himself to us, as well as the gifts that he brings to our lives, then we need to realize that it's not a dreaded dispersal on the Father's part. Here in Luke 12:32, it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So there is such an important element of understanding that needs to come to our relational dynamic, not just that he is the king, but he's our Father. Notice what Jesus said. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I remember as a kid, it was always so exciting to be able to open up gifts, and my parents always had a way of even though we didn't have much, they would pull out a surprise gift that it's like, wow, how in the world did they put all that together? And I mean, we lived in some pretty small places, and I don't really know how they managed to hide things. One Christmas, they managed to bring in a full-size pinball machine. For some of you who are younger in nature, you might not remember pinball machines, but we had this pinball machine. It was in our living room, and it was, like, great fun. I remember, you know, other surprises that they pulled off, and it was always great fun to get those things. But when we had kids, I discovered that there was an even greater joy than receiving the gifts, and that was the joy of giving those gifts. And, you know, you'd have your list, and my wife is real good, you know, that she tries to make sure that all of our kids get the same number of gifts, the same dollar amount of gifts. They might be balanced out differently. Like, there might be one really expensive gift and then a whole bunch of little smaller things. But, you know, she tries to keep it pretty even there. But watching those kids get surprised, or last Christmas, I remember a gift, and my wife is a giver. I mean, she just really is. She's got a heart of gold, a heart of compassion. She not only gives, she gives herself, and she's all in at just about everything that she does. And I remember a couple of gifts that she opened, and as she opened them, there were tears that came, because they had completely, I remember one gift she got brought tears to my eyes, and I didn't know what it was either, but then I got to give her a gift, and it surprised her as well. So that it's good to give. It's Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when you realize that, you need to have an understanding of the kingdom of God, that he's not up there rationing out dispersals of the kingdom. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Now I want you to understand that the kingdom is more than things. The kingdom is a completely different lifestyle. You know, in Proverbs, it talks about when a wicked ruler is deposed and a righteous ruler comes onto the scene, that there is rejoicing in the hearts of the people. It's a completely different atmosphere because of the king. And Jesus says here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 32, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And I remind you again, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Here's the way I like to put it. When the king comes onto the scene, he brings his entire entourage with him. So it's a complete change. Solomon came to the throne, and I want you to know everything changed. Where they had been fighting and warring and all of that sort of stuff, Solomon came onto the scene, and there was such a prosperity that came to the people, a wholeness. Unfortunately, later on, Solomon made some bad decisions, and that shalom did not endure. But God is a greater king than Solomon. God is wiser than Solomon. God's not going to make the bad decisions that Saul. God's not going to enter into bad covenant, and there's not going to be any idolatry. There's no corruption. There's no room for improvement with God. And he's very good at being king. And he says, I want to give you the kingdom. So I want to take you to Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And this is going to tie in with this particular verse, because it shows the second aspect of the gift. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. I'll take you back to verse number 15, because you might have missed it as I was reading over it so quickly there. It says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, but it must also be our good pleasure to receive the kingdom of God. And unless we are willing to receive the kingdom, we're not going to enter in it. And he made this declaration because people were bringing little children to him. We had a missionary several years ago, and they went from one field of service to a completely different culture, different language. It was a completely different ministry, but they went there to minister to the kids. And in that particular culture, children's ministry was unheard of. They did not put any emphasis on children's ministry whatsoever. And they said, look, you are missing out on this tremendous blessing. And so Merit Assembly of God, look, I'm thankful for our church, because not every church has this heart. But it was probably 10 years ago, let's see, maybe a little over 10 years ago, where we had a great number of people that relocated across the country, and our youth and children's ministry went from being pretty healthy for a church our size to being non-existent. We had, you know, one or two kids, and my a couple of kids in the youth group, and that was it. And my daughters, I mean, they were pretty much the youth group for the time they were in high school. And I was praying. It's like, God, I'm not having any more kids. We passed that stage. I said, I need to know how do you want to build this church? And he said, you need to minister to kids. He said, if you want the church to grow, you got to build a kids ministry. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, God, I've never done kids ministry. I said, I was a youth pastor, but I don't know how to do children's ministry. And so we began to pray, and all of a sudden kids started coming in, and what happened was kids came in, their families stayed, and then they grew. And then that morphed into about 3 or 4 years ago here, the launching of our youth ministry. And we continue to work in that area because we want our kids to have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a lot of churches may not be in that mindset, because I will tell you, children's ministry is messy. There are some people at our church, or that are no longer at our church, because kids' ministry doesn't always fit in a nice little compartment. You're going to have some kid issues. You'll have some facility issues. You'll have some funding issues. Children's ministry and youth ministry is not an income producing. It is an expense. I don't label it an expense. I label it an investment, is what I label it. It's going to reap dividends, because I'm not going to have to do jail ministry that I might have had to do if we didn't minister to kids. I'm not going to have to go and bail them out from problems of life, because they're going to avoid those lives, because we want them walking in kingdom authority. He said in verse number 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And I'm getting a little gray on the mountaintop, which is just still mind-boggling to me, because even though I know my energy level's not what it's like when I was in my 30s, in my head I still feel like I can do those things that I could do in my 30s. I just still blows my mind that I'm not. it blows my mind that my kids are in their 30s. Some of my kids are in their 30s. That's just not supposed to happen. As a church, we've got to have a heart to reach those kids, and we can't be so territorial that says, wait a minute, you've got to focus on me. I will never forget the time that I was whining a little bit to God about something, and he said, look, I've got to deal with your pride and your selfishness just like I've got to deal with everybody else's pride and selfishness. I oppose pride wherever it is found, and I want you to deal with it. And so if we can come to that place, I believe that a church that is generational, I believe that around the throne, there are going to be people worshiping from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. But if I can add something there from a picture standpoint, I want to show you that it's going to be generational as well. There's little children that come to Jesus, and there are older men and older women that come to Jesus. It crosses the spectrum of the age, and I believe that a healthy church, I believe that if you focus on kids ministry, all of a sudden you're going to have some adults that find that they've got purpose. And it won't be just to go and sit around and play games all the time, that there's a purpose to pouring into people's lives. Don't just retire, refire. Have an encounter with God that says, you know what, I think I can do something. And so I am blessed at Merit Assembly of God. On Wednesday nights, I don't do the typical pastor thing. I've got some wonderful people in the church, people who know God, who love God, who know the Word, and they have a heart to communicate. So they lead my adult Bible study on Wednesday night. And I do the boys' ministry. And that keeps me seeking the face of God, because I've got to figure out, God, how does this older guy, how do I successfully communicate the gospel to people, to these young men, in a way that's going to say, we want you to be blessed in the Lord and walking in kingdom authority. So I do the boys' ministry on Wednesday night, and the church is okay with that taking place. Is it the ideal? It's not my ideal. I believe there's a lot of people that are more skilled in it than I am. But I tell you what, when I'm driving down the street and I see one of my kids at the bus stop, and my windows are down because I don't have air conditioning in my vehicle, and all of a sudden you hear, "Hey, Pastor Bob," as they're, and you just got a blessing because I didn't yell it into the microphone, but they shout out at the top of their lungs, and all of their friends at the bus stop can hear as they're saying out, "Hey, Pastor Bob," and I'm waving to them and honking at them down the road. And you know what? I grew up with a pastor who built a relationship, not just with my parents, but with me. And I want to be the type of pastor that says, God, I want to pastor the whole congregation, not just the adult part. The kingdom of God, it's coming. You got to receive it because God wants to give it. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Sing to be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.